Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo.
And we're here tonight to talk about esoteric knowledge.
We're here with
George Dixon. Is going to be with us in just a second.
We're going to kind of continue our the conversation from last week, but we're going to be talking about frequencies tonight, and I hope to get into the fourth dimension discussion and description of the fourth dimension and the other overtones. So, welcome, George.
Welcome.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Always nice speaking with you folks.
Good. Good to have you tonight. And I was just mentioning to Leo that we're going to talk about something special, and he said it's going to be frequencies.
Frequencies. Energies.
Energies. Okay.
Everything is frequency.
Okay.
I thought you said frequencies. Sorry, George. Energies.
Energy is frequency.
It's the same thing, yeah, more or less. So I kind of forgot where we left off last week. We had quite a long show.
It was a lot of fun. We covered
a lot of ground, yeah.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground, and frequencies, we talked about it a bit last week, but what I was saying, from frequency, you get light, and with light, you get matter. So everything starts with a frequency.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
It's like understanding life. You need two things. You need light, and you need... you need water, and actually, with the water, you have energy. Anyways, we'll talk about this later on as we go through the evening. How everything is frequency, everything is sound. From sound comes light, and with light comes matter.
So, all in a particular sequence.
Well, it's a manifestation of the sound, of the frequency.
Okay.
And different frequencies produce different energies, or it attracts different energies. And
so,
what energies you attract, that energy is matter.
So different sounds then produce different life forms, no?
Well, it resonates on different frequencies.
Okay.
Including physical frequencies.
Okay.
So we've been talking about the frequency of rising, and that basically is what happened. The energies that we're receiving from our sun and from the energies around us are raising in frequency.
Which causes us to go into another dimension.
Well, I think it raises our consciousness where we evolve into higher frequencies.
Oh, all right. I don't mind me. I'm trying to find this website that I had last night regarding the
fourth dimension.
Yeah, and it was really pretty good. Hang on, I was working on it. But if you could describe, what it was really good because it described the what it was like to be there, it was like, what it would be like to be in the fourth dimension, and it was very good actually. And unfortunately, I didn't save the
probably this one.
No, it's not that one. I know what it is, but it's
Can you tell us a little bit about what the fourth dimension might be like, George? Have you read up anything on that?
Well, the fourth dimension, imagine it is just a place like we're living right now, but you're not restricted by space or by time. Time is not a factor because everything is happening at once.
Could we be right in this space and be in the fourth dimension?
Oh, sure. We're in the fourth dimension now. The fourth dimension is that other self that talks to you while you're talking, while we're talking back and forth. It's like that private partner or that private conversation that's going on, and you respond to it from second to second. So, you know, you are actually living not only in the third dimension, in this reality, but you're also living in a higher dimension, another dimension, which is superseding anything in the physical, plus the ramifications of just beyond the physical. So you are actually in the third and the fourth dimension at the same time. Imagine yourself, your imagination, as, let's say, that fourth dimension. But that can be active in a conscious state. So in looking at that state of being, you are not restricted by the time, because what you could do is you can instantly go back to what happened yesterday or what happened 10 minutes ago, mm-hmm. and experience it.
So isn't that called memory?
Well, memory is remembering it, but in a fourth dimension, you're actually experiencing it. You're experiencing the emotions as that event took place. And actually what you're doing is imagining yourself, you rise and fall, your frequency every day, and just your thinking will affect it, will affect your the frequency in which you're working under, or your conscious self. Now, understand that this frequency
what's that, George?
Well,
no, it's not. This is where it was before. Go ahead, George. I'm sorry. Lila and I are disagreeing with something here.
He's wasting his time looking at this, finding this website.
Well, I had it last night. It was an excellent description of what it was, and that was the site, but it's not the actual article, which is. But it really—it's exactly what you were saying. We're living between the third and the fourth now, but the fourth dimensional aspect of where we're supposed to ascend to. In the very near future, all right, is actually a perfect state. In fact, according to Melcher's deck, we're not even supposed to go to the fourth dimension. It's supposed to be, that's where the fairies and leprechauns and all that kind of people, tree people or something, live. It's supposed to be several octaves higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
Is supposed to be where we're to ascend to. So. I wish I had saved that, because boy.
Well, what you're saying is right. The fairies and the leprechauns, they live within the fourth dimension, but understand that there's an evolution above the fourth dimension, and the fourth dimension is just a completion of the third dimension with a polarity of a reality that we've been experiencing. In the fourth dimension, you're not limited by that third-dimensional reality, where time is restricted to that third dimension. And without the hindrance of the physical world, there is no difference in time. Everything is happening spontaneous.
So how many dimensions are there?
Oh, well, there's there's 12 dimensions with 12 different overtones. In each dimension.
I thought that according to
Melchizedek,
there was 13 or something.
Yes.
It was on the 13th dimension.
Right. Well, the 13th is really the beginning of the next dimension. When they talk about the 144,000, they're talking about the 144 different dimensions, dimensional levels. Just like you have the 12 dimensions, but that 12 dimensions is broken down into 12 segments.
Where the hell is the 13th, though? Well, I thought the 13th was the top one.
Mm-hmm.
That was like heaven or something. I don't know. He had to shield himself from the 13th dimension in order to accept the fact that he was coming back to the third dimension, because he couldn't take he couldn't accept that.
Who's he?
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek? I don't know what you're referring to there, Leo.
Well, he said that when he came back, okay, he came from the 13th dimension.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back to help those in the third dimension to ascend.
Yes, okay.
However, there are 144,000 overtones,
mm-hmm,
within the 13th dimensions, all right?
Yes.
And we are going to ascend not to the fourth dimension, but to the several overtones above that.
That's right, yeah.
And he also said that the ascended masters are on the sixth level, are on the sixth dimension.
Sixth dimension, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they are coming back to help us as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so that's what was where I got the 13th dimension from. But the fourth dimensional, God, I wish it was such an excellent article, and it really explained it well. But it stated that what we were basically, and how we were going to get there. Okay,
mm-hmm,
that we were already there. Okay, in and out,
mm-hmm,
of it. We could already do it, I guess. So.
Well, I think what he was referring to is that a lot of the life forms or the spiritual entities now, they really came from a higher level, a higher dimensional level.
Right.
And what they did do is they dropped back down into the third dimensional level. And now, in escalating out of this third dimension, it was a third dimensional experience. Now, instead of having to go through the normal evolution of the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh overtones, Drumbelow mentioned, I think it was between the 10th and the 11th overtone that we originally dropped down from to. And now, instead of having to go through the fifth and the sixth and so forth, we're jumping the overtones and going to the next octave above.
What is it?
It's like a joint effort of actually just picking up where we left off, and instead of going back to where we originated from, we're going beyond that.
So, just what is an overtone anyway?
Look at it as we do with the Mayan calendar, because the Mayan calendar is broken into 13 segments.
Uh-huh.
And each segment is following the one before it, or the evolutionary a run of the experience, like the experience of the fifth day and the fifth night and the sixth day that we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is just a period of experience within that dimensional level. And you could relate it to overtones. It's we're going through the overtones and scaling up as we experience them.
Okay. Sort of like a step within that particular dimension.
That's right.
Okay.
And let's say if we were dealing with a Mayan calendar, that let's say we were on the fourth day, instead of having to go through the normal time sequence of going through the night cycle, then the following day and so forth, we would just jump up, let's say, from the fifth to the seventh.
Okay.
So, this is basically what Drumbelow was talking about, that we were at a state at one point, and what we did is we dropped down.
Oh, all right.
Part of that experience was, I think, the experience of, let's say, life on this planet. To experience that, and that that was something that we as spiritual entities had to bring ourselves down from to experience, and we would have to be we're restricted by the environment that we put ourselves into. So we're at a state now that we are restricted by the environment of what we put into our bodies and to maintain our life. This is something that is to be experienced, but it's to evolve or ascend away from the hindrance of the physical structure of physical reality. Your body is not you. You make up the body and draw to the body, and it's the light that you are and the light that makes your being up, that gives you individuality. And with frequencies, we've talked before, everybody has their own independent frequency, just like a thumbprint or a thumbprint. Everybody has a different thumbprint or fingerprint.
It just I just found the site, and it said what was interesting here is it says there are seven subplanes of the, of the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Or as we're talking about the overtones, right? But there are subplanes. Each subplane resonates to different frequency. The higher subplane resonates to higher frequencies, and the lower subplanes resonate to lower frequencies. Which, with the highest frequency planes on the top, the planes are casual spiritual plane, abstract thought, and the higher human form. Mental plane is concrete thought and lower mind. Astral emotional plane, emotions, kingdom of fairies, imagination, rest, and so on. That's in the astral emotional plane. The lower astral is the plane fear and negative emotions. And then it says the etheric plane, the interface between the third and fourth dimensions. So essentially, that's where we are, all right, in interfacing the third and fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But not where we're actually.
That's what George said.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. So that's what he said. And each subplane within the fourth dimension has its own corresponding degree of materiality and condition of matter. In fact, within each subplane, there are different frequencies that are of gradually ascending vibratory rates. So there's even more in between there.
Yes.
So, and for example, the astral emotional plane has many subplanes within its range, from a lower vibration where there is more fear than love, to a higher vibration where there is more love than fear. And however, these different planes are not separate, like books piled on a bookshelf. Each subplane penetrates the one just above it and below it. So, it says all of the fourth dimensional realities overlap. The higher dimensional realities extend further from Earth, and the lower dimensional realities are closer to Earth. In fact, the lower astral subplanes are actually here on the surface of the Earth, but are of a higher vibration.
An example of that would be a rainbow. A rainbow from one color to the next. You would have an edge on that, but it's that rainbow effect of one intermeshes with the next one above it.
Right. Okay. And there's a blending of the colors at one point there. When it goes from one to the next, there's a gradual blending.
So are we taking our physical body to this next dimension?
Yes or no?
Well, yeah. Will
it require food and water? And I just think of these very practical things. And would you require a place to stay warm? I mean, will your physical body be the same as it is in the third dimension?
Supposedly,
it wouldn't have the restrictions that, let's say, we have right now.
But we would be we'll be between 10 and 16 feet tall. All right, in that dimension, and supposedly, according to the drone below here, and we'll have gained another two chromosomes or something.
Well, activated chromosomes.
The chromosomes, right? So. Mm-hmm. And then as we go further and higher, we get up to as high as 30 feet, tall, and we become real giants, okay?
So we're going to be, we'll be reborn in this dimension?
Actually, we'll be, yeah.
We'll be like a rebirthing as we pass into it? Or
according to this guy, Trundolo, okay, there'll be a couple of years of parenting or something. To me, the whole thing just sounded whacked out, man. I was just losing it. The further I got into this, George,
yes,
the more it just like totally confounded me.
Let me try to simplify what he's saying there, and about the more chromosomes. Understand that we have 46 chromosomes, right?
I think so.
According to him, we got like 42 plus 2 or 44 plus 2 or.
Yes. Like, yes.
And I got to tell you, George, I was almost convinced of this thing until I got about into the latter chapters of that book, and I went, holy crap, what the hell is going on here? You know, I just got totally blown away. And to the point of unbelievability, you know.
Well, let George explain what he's going to say. Go ahead, George.
Phew, man, it really started not making
sense. So are we going to be reborn, do you think?
Excuse me?
We'll be reborn?
Well, we could be. More than likely, in following the evolution that we've been following, the conscious evolution, we would be born and relive... this experience again, or we can evolve out of this, evolve where we don't actually die, but we change the vehicle, but we don't lose consciousness. We're conscious of the change from one life form to another life form.
Uh-huh.
And it's what you could do is raise the frequency of your the body, and more so with the spirit, and it it actually is a vehicle for the spirit, and regardless of the environment, it would adapt to the environment that it's in, and it wouldn't be affected by it.
Mm. Well.
It's hard for me to explain in a sense, but it's a density. It's a density of the physical matter that we have, that we see. And what Trumbull was saying is that in understanding the different cultures, some are human size, some are giants, but there's a scale that you could follow with the evolutionary path of just life, how it grows, by the chromosomes. Now, they found that Aborigine people, which are short people, or pygmies, I should say, not really Aborigines, but they were very short. I think the tallest was about 4'5" or whatever on the average. But they found that they had 42 plus 2 chromosomes, 44, all together instead of 46 like we have. Now, with humans, we have 44 plus 2. And from our genetic ancestors, the Syrian race, they have 46 plus 2 chromosomes, and they have two more than we have. Now, with that, their height ranges from about 10 feet to 16 feet. Then you have, as you go up the totem pole with a number of chromosomes, the taller you're being. And there are the Anunnaki, I believe, they were anywhere from 20 to 30 feet tall. And some of the Sasquatch type giants that they found that are still there now in the Guadalcanal islands. There are giant structured beings that live in the inner earth there. And I believe Metatron, going back to the ancient Kabbalah, he was a being that was 50 feet tall or 52 feet tall. And he was also blue skinned too. But what Jumbo is saying is that the taller or the more chromosomes that you have the larger in stature that you are, but also you may, it may look, you know, you take a man that's, let's say, 12 feet tall, and he must weigh, you know, 1,000 pounds. But understand that in between each of ourselves, there is a space. And they have spaces between their atoms, and they're taking over a larger area, but weight-wise, you know, it's not at equal, let's say, with a human like ourselves.
Well, it's a totally different reality, is it not?
Well, physically, that's what I was referring to, but also mentally, and they're able to live in multi-realities at the same time.
There are certain things I just didn't understand. I mean, it kind of, I tried, but this birthing process, or this rebirthing, or whatever it is, when we supposedly go to the next dimension.
Yes.
There'll be a set of parents, each of
yes.
us, a set of parents for approximately 2 years. Right? Now, whether or not, I don't know if we're born through a birth canal or if we're just materialized and dad and mom are there, you know, or how you doing, and then you stay there for a couple of years and then you become like 30 feet tall. I kind of really lost this whole thing because it really sounds... almost like bad sci-fi, you know?
Well, it's crazy, Leo, but, you know, going back to, let's say, the Old Testament,
yeah.
and understand a lot of those people lived hundreds and hundreds of years. Some people say that Moses lived for 900 years. Right. And yet, you know, it was maybe the time that they were living, maybe the energy that was receiving from the outside, our solar system.
Quite frankly, between you and I and anyone else listening, I never believed in that crap either. All right. I mean, to me, the Old Testament was made absolutely no sense. You know, I always believed it was just a concoction of, you know, in fact, the Bible is supposedly made up of over 400 authors who just threw crap together, you know. And it got edited by the Catholic Church, so I mean most of that is irrelevant to me. But this stuff has really gone up and beyond. The Melchizedek story. Now, if I go to this fourth dimensional subplanes and this kind of, it starts to make a little more sense to me. All right, from what I could tell, it said transferring of awareness, our awareness, moving from one subplane to another. It is not like moving on third degree Earth. Instead, the need to think in terms of transferring our consciousness from one reality to another. When we transfer our consciousness to another reality, we gradually become less responsive to the perceptions of the reality we are in and more responsive to the perceptions of the reality to which we are traveling. So I guess I can from that statement, which I read last night, everything becomes irrelevant, basically, or almost everything in the third dimension it doesn't make sense to us anymore as we gravitate forward to the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much of a difference there. It's a completely different existence than what we had before or what we're living in now. So I guess I can just throw all caution to the wind and say, okay, we're going to grab whatever is there. But it has to make some kind of logical sense to me because it just doesn't make too much sense to me. Like Immaculate Conception, you know, like, you know, all of these different things which he talks about in there, in his book, mm-hmm. all right? I got the biggest kick out of that passage in there about his wife, you know, finally left him. She couldn't handle him anymore because he had put her through too many strange situations. But the weirdest one being that when she got pregnant, he told her that it wasn't her kid. He wasn't the father,
mm-hmm.
all right? and that it was, you know, immaculately conceived. And that kind of flipped her out. But it was these kind of things that the Melchizedek aspect of this, the Melchizedek story started to really break apart as far, you know, toward that the last part of that workshop. But then I found this, which started to make a little more sense to me as to, and it worked into what some of the things that he was saying as far as what the fourth dimension and the other dimensions are. And in a little more of a logical sequence, more than I could understand anyway. And but anyway, sorry, George, go on. I got sidetracked here, but navigating in the fourth dimension, we navigate through the fourth dimension of combining our feelings and emotions and intentions and thoughts. Our feelings and intentions create a corresponding frequency of consciousness. Now, see, this stuff makes a little more sense to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The higher state of consciousness resonates to a higher frequency, whereas the lower state of consciousness resonates to a lower frequency. It is our state of consciousness that creates our expectations. And our expectations then direct our perceptions to experience the reality in which that our state of consciousness believes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We're just creating our own reality again.
All that's right. That's right.
Whatever we want that fourth dimensional state to be, we create. All right, and I guess that's part of the manifestation aspect of it that we were talking about, before, in the latter other shows. But this makes more sense to me than anything that other stuff was saying. I just got so lost.
With a fourth dimension, you're not locked into that polarity view,
yeah.
Either or. What you do is you bypass that altogether with a unity understanding instead of separating it and breaking it down, like
right.
What you were saying before about the fourth dimension. It
right.
has its good aspects and in the angelic connections, but also the lower life forms, the afterlives. That is still looking at it from a third-dimensional view, where instead of getting locked into that around robin, you rise above that. And this is where, with the unity feeling, you would connect with the feeling of the thought, and that is with the emotional body.
I get it. Cryptic, Sharon, actually, she said that... she asked if we can try time travel in the fourth dimension. I said, yes, we can do virtually anything in that dimension, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, yeah. We do it every day.
What do you mean?
Well, you time travel with your with your imagination. You know, you can go to Venus, or you can go to Mars, and...
But, I mean, we can... I mean, in the fourth dimensional state, we can go anywhere. I mean, we are actually going there. We're not just imagining it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no, you're imagining also. That's the vehicle that you're using, and that imagination will take you right there. Instead of having to prove that your imagination is right, your imagination will instantly be there.
So
it's like scalar waves. You know, it's the potentials.
So you're saying our imagination that we have right now is actually our Merkaba?
That's, well, understand that, yeah. That's not restricted by time or by logic or by programming. And that's the one problem that we've been living with for thousands of years, that we think too much with our head and not with our heart. Just like, who's to say that we can't experience something faster than the speed of light? Which we have the potentials of doing, and we do.
Yeah, I can understand that, but again, taking us from here to there, all right? There's so many things that I've read about, like everything from the blue star to the gradual higher vibrations to the sudden.
Yeah.
Shifts. There just seems like there's many things that will take us there or will be happening at the same time. Once we recognize the vibration in us, okay, that once we recognize that we are headed there, okay, beyond our own, even if we don't want to go there, it's not.
It's inevitable. We're on a course now. We can't stop.
It's an involuntary thing that'll be happening to us. We'll just be taken there. Whether or not we stay there, all right, that will be a voluntary, from what I can see, a voluntary decision on our part. Whether we stay in that dimension or come back, or
it's up to ourselves.
Yeah, you know, whatever, wherever we go from there, it's up to us. But we, from what I read with Melchizedek, was that once we go into the fourth dimensional ascension,
mm-hmm.
we'll be manifesting whatever we desire. Everything we desire will be manifesting immediately. There won't be any time lapse between what I want and what I get. Okay.
That's right.
It'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then what he's saying that is that can create a very dangerous circumstance, set of circumstances, because and drive you back down to the third dimensional state, because you can't accept that fourth dimensional state because you brought with you too many negative emotions or frightening aspects. You know, you get there, and it stated something that, you know, what you bring with you, or what you start to imagine, or what you start to manifest, you can bring monsters. You can start creating
mm-hmm.
monsters. You can start creating all kinds of horrible things in that, because whatever you are imagining, whatever you are not conjuring, but whatever you are...
attaching your consciousness to.
Right. It'll manifest. And
mm-hmm.
it could actually destroy you. So, and so...
How so?
Well, I mean, if you're imagining...
something negative.
Something horrible.
No, it won't destroy you, but what it will do is it will stop your progress.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it's the only way I can explain this is like going to an amusement park, and there are different rides. You have the roller coaster ride, you have the Ferris wheels, the monkey cages, and some of those are pretty scary. They really are. What this does do is like taking a scary ride, and sometimes what is too scary, and instead of not going on the rides at all, you got to come back to a less scarier ride and enjoy yourself, and then gradually move yourself back into that scarier ride. But you know, that is a type of experience that we are going through right now.
Right.
We have the potentials to take those bigger rides, and some of those rides will scare the hell out of us. But because we can't ride them doesn't mean that we lose out on it. We still can come back to where we have evolved at to that point, and we won't lose ground in a sense. So that's what he's talking about. We won't have the ability to feel the full potential, because we still hold on to those private ways, or those logical personal realities that have lived inside of us for so long. And I'm not talking about just this life. I'm talking about the last series of lives that we've experienced in the last 15,000 years. It's because of the possession of the equinox.
Will we be able to get access to that?
So that's what's coming back right now, and that is part of the experience that we're having at the turn of this progression of the equinox, possession of the equinox, it is.
Now, will we remember anything from the third dimension, or will it...
He's just saying that we will have that...
Oh, sure, yeah.
So it's not only that, but we'll connect to that. Okay.
Now,
well, it's part of you, Leo. It's just like when you were younger, the experiences of life that you've had to go through and experience, you'll never forget. But, you know, as the years pass, it's hard to remember, you know, which is what. But it's like those surviving tools that you experienced, and when the time came in life, they kicked in when you needed them. So, you know, it's something that you've learned and experienced, and it's no longer a hassle. It's just a discomfort.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say, and I'll admit, I don't remember 50% of what I've lived through. I remember some major things and major events, but, I mean, I couldn't tell you, cripes, I couldn't tell you what I did what I ate 3 days ago or even yesterday. I mean, it's not, like, I couldn't remember. I can't, you know, there are these things that I don't have any memory of it. So it's like,
sparse. It's just not on the top of your memory. It's there.
Geez, I don't even think it would be. I mean, a lifetime for me to try to remember what I did, what I had for dinner a year ago. You know,
well, let me explain something to you, Leo. It's there because here's an example. When my father was dying, certain parts of his brain were activated that hadn't been activated before, and he spoke in Welsh.
Hmm.
He didn't remember that when I knew him. He didn't speak Welsh at all. But
he spoke it when he was a kid.
He didn't even speak it as a child. His nanny, who was Welsh, sang to him in Welsh and spoke to him in Welsh.
Oh.
And that was someplace in his brain. His parents didn't speak Welsh.
Things
are there. It's just that you can't access it, that's all.
And how would you access it, Layla?
I don't know. If I had, maybe if someone took a little point and put it in certain places in your brain. That they could make the activate that part of the brain. I don't know how you would access it. Maybe under hypnosis, you could access things that your conscious mind prevents you from accessing. Just like if you've been through a trauma, and things are hidden from you through hypnosis, when the conscious mind isn't interfering, you can understand and begin to access that. Correct.
Okay.
That's a way to find out those things. And going around, you have to go around the conscious mind to get a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, going around the conscious mind, you have to identify what the conscious mind is. You know, years ago, I went through the civil mind control, the civil mind method.
From accessing your unconscious mind. It's the a lot of what happens in the present, and because you have to deal with so much of life that happens in front of you, it puts those other things in the back.
What I've learned with this workshop, and I'm going back 1977, is that he talked about memory, that, you know, you can play mind games, or there are games where you can memorize and associate logic or thinking in memory and bringing memories back.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the other way of connecting with the physical body, and what he talked about was the emotions and using the imagination. And one thing I did learn is that your body is actually a receiver, and it notes everything that it's happened to itself.
Yeah.
So every part of your body has a memory part to it, separate from the mind. The mind is just another organ, it's just another machine, but the body itself.
Well, you have a muscle memory. For instance, you wouldn't be able to walk if you didn't have a muscle memory. Your muscles remember how to do that. But at one point, you had to learn it, correct?
Well, you also had to have commands come, and the commands were given from the brain.
But there is a muscle memory, because your muscles remember how to walk, how to jump, how to run.
That's right. That's right. So my point is that memory, what you can do is that you can go to the body for the memory of anything and everything that's happened, because the body would hold a memory of that. Just like if you sprained your ankle, what you could do is to remember back or feel the emotions that you experienced when you sprained your ankle. And you'll supersede time, and your conscious mind will come back to that moment and experience everything your body was experiencing at that time. So the body itself holds the memory, and it's focusing into the body that you connect with that, instead of going through, you know, a logical computing brain of normal patterns in remembering. You know, the mind is restricted, just like the vision is restricted. We're restricted. We can only see, I think it's 24 frames per second. The mind can only comprehend that much, and, you know, it is limited. So I'm saying that the body itself, it has no limitations on it, because it connects to the outside world, or it's connected to the whole.
What do you mean it has no limitations on it?
Well, it's not restricted by movement or by experience like the mind is. The mind restricts its experience.
You mean makes judgments on it?
No. Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it's the experience that the mind has. The mind can only make things happen or put in motion things to happen, but it's the body itself that carries it out.
That's true. I agree with that. Well, the mind kind of makes things good or bad. When things good or bad, they just are. The mind is very judgmental.
That's right. So instead of sitting there analyzing, the body just reacts and performs without questioning itself.
Right. I understand that. Yep.
So in understanding this fourth dimensional reality, you rise above that dualistic polarity reality that the mind has locked itself into. And instead of being locked by just the third dimension, the fourth dimension releases through the body your self-proclaimed isolation, and that's what the brain does.
So here's an interesting. I was just chatting here with Kryptic. And she said that she had an experience where she had a dream, and it was so vivid that she felt she could actually live in that dream.
Mm.
All right, and she said that do you mind it? Well, she probably doesn't mind that I mention it since she wrote it here, but it's a very interesting dream. It says it was very vivid. And she said, I think I may have met my soulmate. She said, he gave me a miniature violin. And I asked her if her soulmate spoke to her in the dream. And she said, no. But she said, he did play the violin before he gave it to her. Or, no, she said, he spoke to his sister, rather, and other people. And then... And I asked if he had played it, and she said, yes, he did speak to me. He said he could play the violin. And then I asked her, were you in a dream or just observing from the outside the dream? And she says, I was actually in the dream. She was buying a strawberry milkshake. And And I said, could you sense the entire reality as a physical experience? And she said, yes, it was so real I didn't want to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad when I woke up that it wasn't real. And she said, go ahead and tell George everything. So I think she did cross over there. And because we actually, in our dreams, we are in the fourth dimension, aren't we?
And, without a doubt.
And right now, we're actually in a dream walking state, as we're getting ready.
Yes, but we're more conscious. We're more conscious of that walking dream state.
Right, right. And that's
or what, I am.
I do actually. I find myself questioning whether I'm dreaming or whether I'm in reality sometimes when certain things happen. It's not a bad state, but sometimes I'll dream like she just did, and dream something so intensely
so vivid
that I can almost feel the air, feel the breeze, feel the cold, feel
mm-hmm.
the hot, whatever
yeah.
the dream may be, and have a physical actual reaction to it. So I wouldn't doubt that we are crossing over.
Yeah, I I would say that that is part of the crossing period we're experiencing.
Right.
And when I say we, you know, I'm experiencing the same thing. And, you know, it's for years in focusing on dreams, I found it hard because I knew I was dreaming, but I couldn't move fast. You know, I just couldn't run like I'd want to run. And now I find myself in the daytime, like you were saying, Leo, that it, you know, it feels like I'm in a dream. And instead of, you know, going crazy with the excitement with it and trying to move, you know, I sit back and I ask where this thing has taken me. And, you know, just let it take me or just follow it through. And
the important thing, though, I think we have to mention is that somewhere in this material about, read about the fourth dimension, there has to be a movement. There has to be constant movement for us to be part of that dimension. You know what I mean? In other words, I don't know if we're moving in the dream or if we're moving outside of the dream or whatever it is, but it's no different than when Melchizedek said that in the void he was taught. He had to make certain. His grandfather taught him to make certain moves, movements that would allow him to travel through the void.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different. And he said that you need movement within these dimensions as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Wherever you are, movement creates the reality. Okay, it creates the whatever you're trying to achieve, you know, whatever, you know, your life, movement is life, you know, movement of the heart, movement of the body, movement of the mind, you know, that's what I gathered from this. I don't know, again, I got so scattered by the end of this, work, I was like, you know.
There's too much to absorb.
Well,
there's a lot there. Yeah, there's a lot.
And I became very confused, and almost to a point where I became totally, you know, disbelieving. I mean, I started to become extremely skeptical because it started to really play on my. I started getting all these red flags, starting going like, "Man, where are you going, Leo, with this?" And come back and get some, you know, make some sense. And that's when I found this particular site. It's called Gaia, G-A-I-A.
Mm-hmm.
Illumination University, I believe it was from.
Yeah, Leo. What was the young lady's name that wrote in?
Cryptic Animal.
I believe her name is Sharon, though.
No, I want to jump back to that if I can, because I think it's a good point, because a lot of people are starting to tune into their dreams, and you know, control dreams, And, you know, I do believe that I'm living a waking dream right now, and the dream is becoming more vivid every day. And I, you know, I say that on a monthly basis. I really, instead of trying to control it or control, you know, what I'm experiencing, whatever, I'm just letting go as much as I can and have it take me wherever it wants to take me, or wherever I'm going with it, I should say. But, you know, it's like a lot of things that I haven't really thought about now are slapping me right in the side of the head, and they're not bad things. They're things that were part of the illusionary reality that were connected with my imagination, you know, in years past. But now these things are coming home, these thoughts are coming home, and I think they're taking on a different perspective, not only in my life, but my view of reality and this world that we live in. You know, I don't believe, you know, that we're in 2009 already. These years are passing by so damn quick, and yet things are speeding up to a point where we have everything and anything that we would ever want. The only problem is that we're too damn picky in what we have in front of us.
That's so true. That's really true. And I found that it's just so fast that we can't really. It's just so fast.
Well, I think these dreams is our own individual bridge, you know, to experience what we're experiencing in life and what life has to give us right now. And I think what's happening is that lights are being turned on and things are being activated, including our dreams, which are a big part of who and what we are. Understand that these dreams connect directly with the subconscious. And when we're not consciously aware, the subconscious is very much active. And it's playing out an experience that is part of just another level of our reality. But it's like the computers. Until the computer came along, you know, it took us years to work on an equation longhand, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But now we're at a point where at a snap of a finger, we have available to us the means to do it, and we have.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're running out of time again. It's 8:57, and I wanted to warn people that at 9 o'clock, we will stop streaming. If you'd like to join the conversation, please do, and you can call in at 646-915-9505 if you have any questions for George. But unfortunately, we won't be streaming after, two more minutes? Actually, yeah, 1.5 minutes now. So you can please call if you'd like to join us.
And Sharon, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate your input tonight. And I don't know if we answered the question, but I do believe that our fourth dimensional dream state can be very real, and we can be living in both dimensions right now.
We'll be finding out very soon.
No, I think we can be. I think we can live multidimensional lives right now because we're right on the blend, right on the cusp of both. Isn't that true, George?
Yes,
we've
been doing it all our lives, and we're just coming to realize it, Leo.
That's true. Hopefully. But then the next couple of years, by 2012, we'll all be...
dreaming away.
...well aware of what's going on. So, thank you, Cryptic, for joining us tonight, and thank you, watchers and guests and all the others who've come in and joined us. And we'll see you next week. Or Wednesday, I guess, or Thursday or Friday,
mm-hmm.
Or every day. And thank you for joining us. And George, as always, it's a pleasure.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. And man, this tonight went fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to thank you. And wish everybody the best and say good night.
Good night,
George. And anything else you want to say before we get 30 seconds?
No, enjoy the weekend. I hope you have a good week, and God be with you, folks.
You too, George. Thanks for joining us, and everybody
good
else,
night.
Thank you. And
good night.
Night.